What's up, you guys? You already? It's your girl, Cocaine Kisses. I'm in the building. You're in the building. And we're here. Look at this shit here. It's already starting with a bang, my nigga. Let's get to it, shall we?
Has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have commit and we have liftoff at 2:13. The Saturn V going up to 7.6 million pounds of
power. You're jamming with the hottest disc jockey. Disc jockey.
Whatever.
My tools and I work my coupe to do a buck 68. P hit you in the head.
like a Dutch to the face. All cup full of liquor, come and fuck with your nigga. Cause I make drug money, got to take blood from me. If you wanna prove a point, pull a joint, shoot dummies.
You told me you would bust your gun for me.
Yeah, bust your gun, dog.
You said you'd always sling your pounds.
Sling the hydro ring.
Nah. What's up, you guys? How are thou? So what's up with you? You know, I'm sitting here looking for the Dutchess that I bought last night. And this is crazy. Like, I'm smoking way too much. Yeah, that's just it. Because every time I turn around, here we go. Spirit said the devil's a liar. I was about to say, because I know you guys and the homie, B-Mo, shout out to you. The homie know I went to the store like 3 o'clock in the morning type shit, like I always do. But the homie know I was up and I definitely went to the store at that time because, you know, I was on the phone with him and we was discussing battle rap shit, the battle rap culture, and literally till 3 in the morning. Like, I think we jumped on the phone about 2 something and we was just going with it. And that's really because I really am a fucking fan of battle rap. If you didn't get that drift by now, I don't know what you're getting from these segments when I tell you that I fucks with the culture so hard, body. But yeah, that's how I ended up literally being up to 3 in the morning. And then, you know, while I was on the phone with the homie, I went and, you know, got me some roll-ups and cigarettes and, you know, regular shit. But what's up, you guys? How are thou? Again, round of applause for you guys always in attendance with me. You know how much I sincerely appreciate you. So today I'm really chilly mo. I mean, normally I always am, but you know, today I'm just shooting the breeze, just, you know, one day at a time type shit. Of course, I'm at work. I'm at my day job. I'm still remote, you guys. I'm still remote. And during moments of downtime, breaks and shit like that is when I, you know, do what it is I do, you know? Multitasking, right? Right. So, a lot of shit to talk about. It's always shit to talk about. The obvious and the not so much. So I'm gonna try to hit as many things as I can today that's on my mind to discuss. Like, you know how this go. No writtens. I ain't writing shit down. I'm just off the dome with it. Like, shit that I want to talk about. Bear with me, you guys, because I'm literally rolling as I'm talking to you. And I know my voice is sounding a little like, it does that. Like, it goes through octaves and shit. Sometimes I be sounding real sexy and sensual, right? And then sometimes I be sounding like a whole nigga on here. I guess that's that balance, though. I definitely do balance out my masculine and feminine energies quite well. And I actually would implore that you guys do the same. You know, it's kind of like taboo-ish that, you know, men have a difficult time admitting that they do possess both energies, feminine and masculine. But those men who are empowered, enlightened, and true, authentic men, they already know this, right? They already know this. It's nothing wrong with embracing the femininity in yourself if you're a masculine, and it's nothing wrong with being effeminate and embracing the masculinity in you. You need both to really keep the balance and to pretty much survive. You know what I'm saying? You can't have one without the other. It's like having light without dark. It's just, that's not how this world was designed, right? Yeah. So, where are we going with this code? Where are we going with this? Oh, let me tell y'all something. So yesterday, right? Try to be as respectful and censored as possible when it comes to when I'm getting ready to discuss. You guys know COVID is back at it as if it ever left, but this shit is coming back and it looks like it's pretty much picking up speed in terms of the recurrences or new occurrences, I should say, of people being affected by the virus, and it's almost like I shouldn't be surprised, because I just spoke to y'all last segment when I was discussing Rolling Loud and my concerns about the amount of motherfuckers that was out there in close proximities to each other without really wearing masks and things of that sort. And so you guys heard it from me first. I said, you know, and I even wished people, you know, safe travels back to whatever state they originate from. But I definitely felt uneasy about the reality of what we are dealing with and how so many people were together without distancing being appropriated, right? Like, there's no way you're telling me, yeah, there was social distancing being practiced at Rolling Loud. Fuck out of here. But you know, it is what it is. I already mentioned that because there was an artist that indicated she was diagnosed. Like, she's currently going through it right now. She has she's contracted COVID while she was out there at Rolling Loud. And she actually performed as well. So we'll find out who the fuck, what her name is again. We'll go into that a little further. But where do we start, people? It's always some fucking shit. Always. So I want to start with a music review, right? Early. Damn, just when I was getting ready to go there with it, Spirit said, nah. Back it up a little. All right, look, homegirl who I was referring to, that's Dior, that's who I was referring to when I said she tested positive for COVID-19 after Rolling Loud. She actually shared this information, you guys, with everybody on social media, and she confirmed the positive test results just some days after performing. So, AOL stated that there was about 80,000 people in attendance. I mean, I'm guessing people presume that most of the people attending would have been vaccinated, but you know, that's not a great assumption to make. You know what I mean? Like, that's some toss-up type of shit, but I'm pretty certain that's what people are going to say that was in charge of this event. And like I was telling my moms yesterday, and this was really relevant to us returning back to work, returning back to the offices, returning back to court type shit. You know what I do for a living. And I was telling my moms, like, you know, this whole, stay with me, because you guys know I go back and forth, intertwine topics and shit like that. But I was telling my moms, like, yo, this checking temperature as the solution to determining whether somebody might have COVID or not is, in my opinion, a lazy approach and probably not the best approach by far. And the reason I say that is because, let's just be real with ourselves. If you have motherfuckers that's asymptomatic that can carry the COVID-19 virus and not produce symptoms of actually having the virus, right? Then what the fuck would that temperature, checking temperatures, I should say, what would that tell me? Absolutely nothing. I would be checking somebody's motherfucking forehead. That shit would read 98.7 or anything under 100 is determined not to have a fever or a red flag for some form of an infection and still be able to pass this virus off to other people and put them at risk simply because we're presuming that because we did a temperature check, yeah, that everything is wavy. No, it's not. No, it's not. And I'm guessing people, the United States that is starting to see that maybe that's not the best tactic, or maybe that shouldn't be the only tactic we use to determine whether or not it's safe for individuals to be entering buildings and specific areas, returning back to work and all of these things. Like, it gotta be something else in place. Just pointing that out. But anyway, I say that to say, I'm wondering if while at Rolling Loud, that was one of the mechanisms that they chose to utilize in determining whether people were cleared to participate at this, open festival. So, Dior said on the 22nd of July on her social media page that she was sick as fuck, my nigga. So sorry, honey. I hope you feel better. I hope by now you have gotten to 100% recovery. At your best, if not, praying that you get there quickly. But she did say this on Twitter that she tested positive, and everybody who was in contact with her should totally get themselves tested as soon as possible. I'm pretty certain that that's definitely something many people will want to do and should do. But if you didn't know, the reason why I'm I guess the enforcement of proof of vaccinations was not required came basically from the local laws in Florida. Now, these laws are enacted by the state's governor, Ron DeSantis. DeSantis! Yeah. So, masks and proof of vaccinations were not mandated. And I don't find that impossible to believe, because when I went out to Trilla Fest in May, in Miami, it was the same kind of time. Like, nigga, Miamians move different. Shout out to Miami. Shout out to Florida. But they move different. Like, they wasn't worried. Like, what, COVID didn't exist to them like that down there. And I can't make this shit up. Like, there was moments in the segment of the concert where representatives from whatever radio station that was. Because I don't recall. I'm from New York, so I don't keep up with the radio stations from other states. But shout out to them all the more. Yeah, the nigga was on stage like, fuck COVID. We don't, COVID don't exist here. Like that type of shit. And I was just flabbergasted, like, whoa. No judgment, though. You know what I'm saying? I had my motherfucking mask on, you heard? But even then, you know, I myself was in a situation where I'm in a concert, people, with motherfuckers that's, man, they on my body, you heard? And there is no social distancing. So I would absolutely state that, yeah, in situations like that and similar, you definitely taking a risk. You definitely taking a risk doing that. And I'm saying, just know that before you, you know, go down to situations like that and all that. But, yeah, going back to Des Dior. I feel so bad that she actually, you know, was man down like that, or I should say woman down like that. It's kind of interesting, though, because Rolling Loud did post on their website, that they were encouraging all attendees to wear masks, as not, quote, wearing masks consistently and correctly can increase risk of being infected with COVID-19. And I totally believe that they did that, obviously. It was on their website. But, you know, if you don't put something in place to enforce that, then how the hell are you going to, you know, ensure that 80,000 people actually do what you're stating you're encouraging motherfuckers to do? You know what I'm saying? If you don't got nothing lined up to execute that what you're saying is being followed, then, like, it's going on deaf ears. Like, yeah, I hear you, but I ain't listening type shit. So that's what that was. So again, you know, if you're not already at full capacity, Des Dior, I really hope that you are getting there quickly and sending love and healing and prayer your way. Definitely. Okay. So, moving forward. Yeah. So what I was going to say before I was able to remember, the young woman's name who contracted COVID in Rolling Loud. I was going to talk to you guys. Can I talk to you guys? Yeah, let me talk to you guys. Because a lot of times, you know, this is just how I feel. You ain't got to feel this way. But, you know, appreciate the opinions of other people when they, you know, spit in a real fucking truth. And we don't always, again, stop trying to be this world, people, where we all got to agree with the same. No, the fuck we don't. We individuals for a motherfucking reason. I don't got to agree with you, and shit, you don't got to agree with me, but pay me the respect to hear me out type shit. You dig? If you're listening. And you know, I respect all criticism, feedback, you know, that type of shit. But yeah, so this is really pertaining to Young Thug's new album he's been working on. Yeah, the album is titled Punk, and he actually previewed some of the songs off this album, like TikTok, for an example, at Rolling Loud this past weekend. So I took the time, because with me, when it comes to music, I could totally not care for you as an individual, but if you got fire music, I know how to separate the two. And I keep stressing that, because many people cannot do that. They cannot separate one from the other. So, I'm not a fan, you guys, and I don't know him personally, but the vibes I get off of his character, I don't approve of, right? I'm not on it. I'm not jacking it. And quiet as it's kept, I really don't dig his music either. That's just me, you guys. No hate. This is just my truth. I don't fuck with him as an artist. For many reasons. And some of them I'm going to express because they directly relate, in my opinion, to this album that's coming out in October. So my biggest issue with Young Thug as an artist is that I do not believe that he is authentic by any fucking means. Young Thug is very much a replica of several other artists, mainly, in my opinion, Wayne being the predominant artist that he carbon copies so frequently. It's just for you to act like you don't see it, my nigga. Really? You don't see that? Maybe because you still got blinders on your eyes. But my nigga, if you fuck with hip hop heavy, you know this nigga here though. And don't get me wrong, it's beyond the, you know, image he's created for himself, which in my opinion is a piggyback off of Wayne. And I have to say Wayne because he was the first one to do a lot of the things he did, which opened the door, if you will, for other artists to mimic his style. I don't give a fuck what they say. No, if you wasn't doing it before this man, then where'd you get it from? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have done it before him or while he was doing it to convince me when you doing exactly what he's doing that you ain't copying off of this nigga. And it's not just, you know, I'm choosing to make an example with Wayne the Young Thug, but this happens with a lot of artists tapping into other artists' energy and just being like fucking vampires and stealing their whole style and running with it, like literally running with it. But when it comes to Young Thug, I guess in always separating one from the other, I just, in both categories, I can't get jiggy with the shit. I don't really care for his character as a person, and I don't really like his music at all. So, and I give everybody a fair shot. That's how much I love music. Like, if you drop the album and that album was trash, I'm not going to presume your next album is automatically going to be trash. I will give it a listening ear. Hear that it's trash and be like, look, ain't nothing changed. This shit still doodle type of shit. But, I heard Tiny Desk, right? Which is, a track off of, his new unreleased anticipated album coming out in October. And it actually, I was able to see a snippet of the performance that he did with drummer Travis Barker and rock band Damaged Goods. So shout out to them, first and foremost. Fucks with Blink-182, hard body. I fucks with punk rock. Y'all should already know that. You should already know that. The genre of music for me is not limited. But yeah, when I when I saw the snippet of the video, I was like, what the fuck? First of all, I laughed at his description, Young Thug, that is, of this latest, of his latest album that's coming out in October. And he focused on describing it as authenticity, consciousness, and overall purity. What? Like, my nigga. And if it was really all those things, I would totally have saluted it. But, again, I haven't heard the whole album, so I cannot make a determinant about the entire album. But from what I heard, I am not impressed. Nor am I surprised that what I heard sounded like exactly what the fuck I heard. I don't know who he's got convinced that he is authentic and original, but yeah, my nigga, not by far. Young Thug did go on to say that this album that's coming out is touching music and the world is going to embrace it. It means brave, not self-centered, conscious, very, very neglected, very misunderstood, very patient, and very authentic, end quote, right? Very misunderstood, yeah, come on, see? See? That's number one. So I don't even need to really tap into that too heavy. But for him to proclaim that his album is the return of real rap, when was it ever real and rap with you? Like, just because, listen to me, just because motherfuckers got followers and fan bases do not make these niggas good. Nowadays, anybody will follow any fucking body. That's just the world we live in. That's how much we don't really live in our own self-awareness, because we always have to go follow somebody else. Like, so I'm not impressed by fans and follows, because 1,000 sheep could follow a sheep off a fucking cliff. Like, type of shit. But, he talked about him wanting to open up and let people know that he's not just a rapper. He's a human being. Like, I know you guys, it's hard for me to do this because I see the fuck shit. Like, I see the fake. It stems even out of the words of the quotables from him in articles. Like, he's so fake, you guys. It screams him trying to reinvent himself as someone else that's already here. Like, and those are sure signs of being an energy vampire. And not for nothing, he's been doing this his entire career, from the piercings to the locks, to the dyed locks, to the tats. Like, it's, man, this shit gotta be annoying, man, to Wayne. Like, it's annoying to me. And I'm just a fan of hip hop. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it. But let's stick to the bars, right? Let me just stick to the bars. And I'm gonna play a short snippet of a Tiny Desk so you can hear for yourself what it is I heard.
Yeah.
We're ready to go.
I gotta tell you that you're right tonight. Here we go against these people. You gon' die slow, die slow. We out of Italy on the water. Restoring, man, straight recording, smoking weed, smoking dope, drinking a little lean. Actually did good, ain't drank but a paint this whole tour. Yeah, on tour, it's my son's birthday. It's July the 15th. Nah, I low-key like really see people around past on boats right now out the window. It's just a penthouse suite, you know what I'm saying? That major. Yeah. Told the lawyer that my brother ain't going back to prison. I don't give a fuck if I got to turn that nigga to Jehovah Witness. I'm just seeking for God's soul, cause I know something's missing. Comadego saw boxes and I came from penny pinching. Came out the struggle, nigga. I already had lost a brother, nigga. Got a fight with a deputy sheriff. I almost lost my mother, nigga. And that's funny, like my mom had broke up with my dad for having another kid on and he had came home one day and he saw a car in the driveway. It was an off-duty sheriff that my mom was fucking with. And they had a few words and it ended with my dad shooting and ended up in the hospital in the coma. And so fast forward like 8 years later, my sister had got the fight and they had a family member that was a deputy sheriff. And my mom had came, I stopped the fight and she had ran and got in the car and pulled off doing that like 60 miles per hour and ran my mom over. She had a stroke and she all right. Yeah. I always knew I wasn't gonna be gay. I had to send a picture to my mom phone when I was like 8. I always knew that I'd be great, cause my coach told me I was slow, but I was running in a fast pace. Huh? They trying to divide us and conquer the world with it. They got a couple of the guys and all of the girls with it. But I'm a mastermind, I see right through it. I see that they got a couple of diamonds, but the rest on pearls in it. They say you poor cause you black, right to your face. They say where you live, you never be able to own that place. My father said you could change it all with your performance. And by the way, your life is a VV Stone charm. They take the land and then dictate who all could come. But I tell you, with a long sleeve, I bell on. Yeah, I'm high enough to be on a Milky Way tomorrow. If you
want it, you gon' get up earlier than anyone. If you want it, you gon' get up earlier than anyone.
So, yeah, I'll give you a little bit more.
Flattened in a coupe in the bank. Smoke out that bag too big for a sec. Three said, baby, have gone out of bank. Shot a little jet like a 2-year-old brat. A jet like a record in stretch. Y'all niggas rats, dispatch. I got 4 blacks, Kit Kat. Dick in the back, I'm dead. Player, where you from? Talk about the trenches. I came out the trenches. I came from the roaches. I came from the ridges. I'm from where they call you a rat if you snitching. I came from the same down street as the pimpers. We raid by them jackets. We sleep with them bitches. Y'all nigga came from that nigga. Give up his kidney. But St. Laurent still trying to season this season. Nigga say, how do you keep up with me and my niggas?
Alright, I'm gonna stop it right there. I'm gonna be fair, right? So in all fairness, right? The music is amazing, obviously. Look who's behind the music, right? I'm not sold. I'm a fan of music and it doesn't come off as authentic. It comes off like you are trying to persuade us that this is you. And we all got a struggle story, struggle bars, struggle songs. Everybody got a story. And everybody is entitled to share their story, right? For inspirational purposes, I would hope. But even down to what I just played for you, and you hear the, ooh, it's certain things that stand out. When you a fan of certain artists, you can hear when somebody is literally trying to tap in to their shit and recreate it and then pass it off like it's theirs. No, my nigga, like, I'm gonna wait till October, but it's no secret, I'm not a fan. And the lyrics that I heard when I saw the snippet of the performance that he had, when was this? Because this was not even the performance of, I think it could have been a performance at Rolling Loud. I think it was. Because there were snippets of it. The lyrics does not match the synchronicity of the music. It's not meshing well, right? That's number one. It does not mesh well to me at all. The passion is not really displayed as far as, you know, me feeling like this is this person's, not saying what he's saying is not truth, but it just, there lacks something. And again, I just think it's authenticity. I feel like he tries too hard to try to convince people that he's real. And I hate them type of people, because if you was real, I wouldn't be able to detect so many things off of you that is not of you. You understand? Or you don't pay homage to. Even something as small as that, whew, that's a wheezy moment. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's annoying to me, because I hate to see artists copy other artists. I really do. And then actually get recognized as an artist. But, you know, real people in attendance that love music are sitting here like, if it wasn't for Wayne, literally, where would y'all, a lot of you niggas be? Let me get off of Young Thug, because, you know, no, I'm a step away. I'm going to step away. And the reason why I'm going to step away, because it's not just, you know, the shit with Wayne. It's comments he's made in the past that you guys heard me speak on when it came to Hov and using Hov's name just to be able to get a buzz. Because, you know, if anybody says Hov's name, depending on what's being said and who you are, it's going to generate some form of a buzz. Good, bad, or indifferent. There's going to be attention circulating around it simply because you mentioned that man's name. And I be seeing the tactics motherfuckers be using just to get more attention. By any means necessary type of shit. Like, get out of here. Like, the comment that he made, I'm still not over it. Like, I'm healing, though. I fucks with Hov heavy. Like, for you to be like, his fans can't even recite 30 of his songs. And then when we come for your fucking ass, you want to be like, oh, the internet is reaching. And they, you know, they took it where it didn't need to go. No, we took it exactly where it need to go. Because, motherfucker, that's exactly what the fuck you said. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Nigga, I heard what you said. Don't you ever. Ever. Now, my nigga, it's some artist you could probably say some shit about. And I'm a back out of that. But Hov, you wildin', my nigga. You wildin'. I'm a big fan. So for you to actually feel comfortable quoting that his fans cannot recite 30 of his songs, my nigga, we can go through album after album after album. We could rap his shit better than him. You fuck with me, though. It's never gonna go well with me, Young Thug. I think I should just, like, totally get away from this whole topic. I'm just living in my truth, you guys. I'm sorry, but not sorry. Like, if the nigga stood on principle of being unique in himself, I'd give it to him. But he's not. He's not. Yeah, it's too many other... He's a shapeshifter. Like, fuck out of here, my nigga. Like... Let me move on. Moving forward. But yeah, his album is coming out October 15th. Look for it. Punk. I don't give a fuck, my nigga. Like, you could get mad at a nigga opinion, but nigga, it's my opinion. I'm heavy on my opinion. This is what I said. I said what I said. You can't make me change my mind. And that's not only me. Like, if you go to Hip Hop DX, there's a lot of motherfucking fans of music and hip hop that commented on this album, his new sound, you know? And yeah, I clearly am not the only one who's in agreement with how I feel about him and his persona. So moving forward though, and forward we shall move. So by now, I know you guys mostly should be already aware that Simone Biles withdrew from the Olympics, unfortunately. And you know what? I totally understand. You understand? She withdrew because she stated she just wasn't in the right place mentally. And I think a lot of times, you know, I'm so proud that people are being so forthcoming about when their mental health is not balanced. Because, you know, it was just not so long ago, people would frown upon the mention of mental health and have some warped out stigma to what was considered mental health and who the fuck was the face of it. You dig? You know, I've always been honest with you niggas since I started this. Like, my nigga, I was got a whole psychotherapist for 3 years on account of life and things you encounter. Some things you don't even have control over. Like, I was literally seeing my psychotherapist because of things that were happening in the workplace. Like, my work environment was so fucking toxic and draining that it was causing me to have to speak to a fucking therapist before something go real left type of shit. And it's bad when you get pushed into a corner to where it's either you have the strength to seek help to deal with this shit, or you just react impulsively over the breakdown that you're having mentally because of the stress. You know what I'm saying? Everybody who goes through mental health issues ain't all out here looking like whatever y'all think crazy people look like. You know what I'm saying? I just want y'all to know that. Like, because the reason so many people have suppressed identifying that they're struggling with a mental illness is because of the image that was associated with it. So nobody wants to be like, yeah, I suffer from mental illness. Cause then niggas is like, okay, slide over type shit. Like, that's the real reason. Like, niggas, and this is not a new phenomenon. Like, niggas been going through mental health breakdowns, issues, traumas for years, right? On top of years, and just have not said anything because the lifestyle we're living at the time doesn't make us comfortable in admitting these things. So, you know, again, it goes back to knowing thyself and being comfortable with you enough to say, yo, what the fuck? I'm going through it mentally. I'm not right. This is not right. And I don't have to hide the fact that mentally I'm fucking off today. Maybe tomorrow too, if I don't get the proper fucking help. That doesn't make you inadequate as a fucking person. That makes you brave as fuck. Yeah. Because while everybody's judging you like, oh, this bitch is having a fucking meltdown, she's a mental case. Nigga, I'm honest about me, because you're sitting here pretending that you ain't mental, and bitch, you are too. You see that shit? Shit crazy. The first sign of letting everybody, like, how you say this? Like, the best way I could describe us all suffering from mental illness, all, motherfucker, all, plural, all, is one of the most recognized mental illnesses ever. Depression. Nigga, that's a mental illness. That's mental trauma, rather. Huh? We all been depressed, motherfucker. So stop trying to separate and act like, oh, you have a mental illness or a mental breakdown. I don't. And also, I'm glad people are being more forthcoming, because people try to sweep this shit under the rug, especially in job fields and corporations, when you telling them like, yo, I'm having a breakdown here. You know what I mean? Like, this shit here is causing, this shit right here is causing a burnout. Burnout ends up producing mental traumas, stress. But back to Simone. Sorry about that. You guys know I be ranting, going off. But she wanted to let people know that she was not physically injured, you guys. And you know, we all know now that the reason she pulled out was just because, you know, the stress, the pressure, I'm presuming, had a lot to do with where her mental stability was. And, you know, her environment, additional external factors could have definitely contributed to her pulling herself out of the Olympics. And you know, your mental health is more important than, you know, endorsements or fame. Or, well, what are these people going to say? Man, fuck all that. You got to be true to you. You don't fuck you living for these people. You do all of that and you be stressed out. You can't live for other motherfuckers. You got to live and be healthy for you first. You are important. So, without her continuing with her team, the United States took silver. And apparently this was the first time that United States have taken silver in gymnastics in the Olympics or World Championships since 2010. Russia won gold and Great Britain won bronze. Well, shout out to Great Britain, because they actually got their first gymnastics medal since 1928. So that actually, yeah, that's noteworthy, nigga. Round of applause for y'all. Right. So I don't know what she said between damn my Lord, what are they putting in this shit these days? Alright, between her crying and trying to be in good spirits and laughing, she was quoted saying that, you know, she just doesn't, well, I just don't trust myself as much as I used to. I don't know if it's age, but I'm a little bit more nervous when I do gymnastics. I feel like I'm also not having as much fun, and I know that. And it was then when she started to cry, and I think it was then when she made that statement, the reality, and a lot of times that happens to so many people who have gifts and are talented. When they start doing it on a grander scale, what used to be just passionate and, you know, something that they were not only great at, but was done effortlessly because they were, you know, it came from their heart. It started feeling demanding. That's what it becomes. And it starts sucking the enjoyment out of the very thing you are naturally equipped to do. Real facts. That don't just happen in sports. That happen in music as well. It can happen in all forms of entertainment, if you want to be honest, right? She even says, this Olympic Games, I wanted to do it for myself. And I was still doing it for other people. Didn't I just talk about that? She said, doing what I love has been taken away. My nigga, I just, yo, preach, go. And that's real facts. This is what I'm talking about. This is real talk. When somebody takes your gift or when your passion becomes exploited to a point where you're no more or you're no longer, you don't no longer have that zing about it. You may be getting exposure, endorsements, shitloads of money, fame and all that. But it's almost like it was a trade-off. Because you're not even, you don't have the same feelings about the very thing that you loved your whole fucking life. That's when you start questioning, should you even still be doing this shit? Yeah, that's a mental, my nigga, they don't know. But do they? They probably do, and then just don't give a fuck. Real facts. Sorry, you guys. I was going to run and get my coffee break. You wouldn't even notice. But, yeah, so the pressure in life to be, quote, the best can drive a person fucking mad, literally. And the competition is so heavy that, again, the assuredness that you once had in yourself starts to dwindle. And God forbid it does it in a rapid way. Because, you know, even when it does it little by little, is detrimental all the same. But when it does it, like, real abruptly and, like, one moment, just poof. And I feel like that's what happened with Simone. So it appears like in that particular game, she had a lot of errors that were happening where you can understand that her mind wasn't in it. She wasn't there. And I think for her, she didn't want to disappoint so many people. And she was quoted with saying, you know, she feels like, you know, the weight of the world was literally on her shoulders. Wow, mama. She's more than amazing to me in so many more ways now for what she did than ever before. And she caught some criticism by people who felt like, I couldn't believe it, but I've read where comments came in that people stated she was, you know, not a sore loser, but they was giving off the impression like if she's like a spoiled brat, like, oh, you didn't do good, and automatically you called it quits. Like, it was very mixed feedback that I was seeing. So whereas you had a majority of people totally supporting her and her trueness to put herself first, because you no good to nobody else if you ain't good to you, type shit, in a positive way for her mental health, to be able to restore her physical confidence back in herself. Yeah, I got it. Some people didn't. I got it. Some people didn't. But, you know, her routine, as I mentioned, was shaky. She made that call to pull herself out. You know, and who is anybody to fault her for doing what she believed was the best thing for her at that time. Like I said, that pressure is crazy. The pressure is crazy. I mean, when you literally have a vault already named after you, the pressure is mean with it. And so everybody can say what they would have done until they're in that individual's shoes. I totally commend you, Simone. You are super dope always in my book. And I, you know, applaud you for putting yourself before. And this is not selfish. This is why I tell people they mind fucked y'all when it came to the word selfish. My nigga, because that's a very, in my opinion, slave mentality to always, it has nothing to do with not being humble, to always put everybody before you and think nothing of you. That's draining. That's a way of control too. Might I ask? Might I add? Yeah. Ask. Might I add? Yes. It's a form of control. Nothing wrong with doing for folks. But when it becomes to a point where your mental stability is being altered or warped or breaking down because of the pressure of always trying to do what's best for the others and how it affects others, it's almost like you're sacrificing yourself. Is it not? Because you're sacrificing your mental stability to have everyone else happy for whatever makes them happy, however they benefit off of the happiness that comes from you or whatever it is you do, right? Anyway, yeah, so that was that, you guys. I mean, people gonna talk. Let them talk. Love you, boo. Moving forward. I will find out, though, because today is Thursday, and she was supposed to... I think she was supposed to be in an event today. I don't know. But more than likely, she's probably not going to. Like, when they asked her about it, she said she didn't know. She said she'll take it day by day. But that was yesterday. And that in an interview conducted yesterday. So who knows? But I'll know later. But like I said, she was due to compete today in the, what is it? The individual all-around final. I can't say if that has happened. But shout out to her nonetheless. Love you, boo. Okay, now, all right. Really, really moving forward now. Moving forward. For real, for real. In real estate, no, but seriously, and you guys, I don't know shit about no motherfucking real estate, but I came across some shit, and it definitely piqued my interest because of the person name I saw associated with it. So I was like, oh, what is this? So I'm like, wait, what? So I saw in real estate, shout out to Hope. Your boy. Hope and Will Smith, guys, have backed this like rent to own firm. Yo, this shit is pretty dope. And you know I was gonna read about it as soon as I seen who was involved. Like, wow. All right, so look, really quickly. So this is like a startup that assists like renters in building and improving their credit until like they can buy a place of their own. So it's almost like, if you want to describe it to be as a bunch of investors who are putting their money into a startup, funding to help renters build up their credit. And so some of the people that's actually involved outside of Jay-Z's Roc Nation and Will Smith's Dreamers VC is Sequoia Capital. I think that's how you say it, Sequoia Capital. So that's pretty fucking dope. So this startup is specifically catering to would-be potential homeowners who normally would not be able to afford to buy a home. Right? Now, the company themselves, they purchase the house, then they rent it to the client until they can actually qualify for a mortgage. So that's pretty fucking dope, you guys. Like, real talk. Round of applause for helping niggas secure some type of fucking house of their own and move out of the renter mentality into the owner philosophy and ideologies. Now, the client can actually, after 2 years, buy back the predetermined price, and go about it that way. But overall, this is a fucking dope concept. Like, rent to own is always, in my opinion, a win-win strategy. Many other companies obviously have done this. Home Partners of America. And others. I just know of them particularly. I know that they actually are affiliated in some aspect with Blackstone Group, Inc. This is, guys, if you get an opportunity where this information literally hits your lap, like, and you fit the criteria for this shit, totally take advantage of it. Like, Landis, which is Landis Technology, which is who is involved with this, and it's funded by Cyril Verdugo and Tom Petty. They like hire how would you call them, like coaches, or they provide coaching, I should say, to the potential clients, and they help them manage their finances and how they need to and what they need to save for the amount of money that's needed for their down payment. Now, not for nothing, There's organizations here in New York City that do the same thing under Section 8, depending on what type of Section 8 you have. And I don't think a lot of people know that, but I think it's FHS or something to that effect. Don't quote me, but you could totally look it up. They have, I think it's FSS, Family Self-Sufficiency, something to that effect, where they have a similar tactic where they assist their clients and helping them purchase their first home. They even give grants. People, take advantage of these things. Like, there are things out here to assist you in a better way of living if you want to live better, my nigga. I mean, they don't make it easy for us, but if you find some shit, my nigga, take advantage of the information. So, Landis is New York based. Look at that shit, see?
But they do operate in 11 states. I didn't know that. Alabama, Kentucky, and South Carolina being among the states. But you guys, totally, this is a dope fucking shout out again to all the investors that's involved in this project. I hope it does really well. If it's in your state and you're able to acquire information and you fit the qualifications for this, you be a fool not to look into this shit. Word up. Definitely. Ah! Okay, moving forward. Y'all know the name Ben Crump, right? Yeah, you should. He actually is teaming up with Black women's organizations on a lawsuit against Johnson & Johnson. And I'm like, you know, damn, how many fucking lawsuits can Johnson & Johnson keep catching? Like, it seemed like every time I turn around, these niggas is being sued for something. I ain't lying. You know I ain't lying. Now, apparently, Tuesday, Ben filed a lawsuit against Johnson & Johnson on behalf of the National Council of Negro Women, NCNW, accusing Johnson & Johnson talcum baby powder product of leading to cancer diagnosis for some of the members of the nonprofit organization. And you guys know, it should be no secret to you, that they have already pretty much settled out many lawsuits against them for their powder products being ruled as contributing to cervical cancer and many women who use the product, right? And I know you've seen the commercials where lawyers is telling you and shit to fucking call them about the shit. So I'm not really surprised. I just didn't know that he recently got himself involved into the familiar lawsuit dealing with Johnson & Johnson about the familiar topic. Now, if you didn't know, Johnson & Johnson is being accused of targeting their products to Black women, alleging to have a knowing that Black women were going to be more likely to use the powder products and use them regularly. However, these products were deemed not safe, and thousands of NCNW members have used these products, and many have already been injured with the development of ovarian cancer caused, might I add, by J&J powder, according to Black Enterprise. And so we don't dispute that, right? Because we already, like I mentioned, seen them settled cases already pertaining to the same shit. Unbelievable. Then you have people that believe that they have a a cause to assume that they too will develop symptoms in the future because they've used these products despite not having that as a concern for them presently. They're saying that they're suffering from psychological harm and they're requiring immediate medical monitoring. Which is why I said before, you guys, it's my opinion, I don't know why we went to Johnson. Now, let me say, Spirit said, what the fuck you mean we? Let me recant that. We track. Yeah. Why the government went to these individuals to manufacture a fucking vaccine if they have a lengthy history of production of products that are determined unsafe? And regardless of what category these products are in, you are the stamp behind things that are producing adverse results. And knowingly, we gave your ass another job to do. Okay, well, moving forward. Fun facts. Johnson & Johnson faced at least 25,000 cases over this talcum baby powder situation. Now, they themselves have denied the allegations that the product was marketed to, quote, black women. But whether they, in my opinion, take accountability for that or not, doesn't say or take away from the result of them having some, admitting some responsibility in why they are allowing settlements for this issue. So it's like, I'm gonna, you know, I'm not gonna say that I did this specifically to this particular type of people, but I'm not gonna take away from the responsibility in knowing that, yeah, I stand behind the manufacturing of some shit that did some shit. It wasn't good. Either way, I hope these women are able to receive the justice that they are seeking in the way that they are seeking it. It's I'm saddened to hear that these women and other women, you know, have been affected by this. And it's, you still are hearing current fucking stories. Like, it's still going. It's still fucking going. But yet again, we trusted them with a vaccine. So let me get up out of here. I've held you long enough, people. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yeah, you guys, you already know. I love you much. Enjoy the rest of your day. And yeah. Until next time. Later, you guys.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.